Okay, turn with me to Luke 23, verse 44, and Isaiah 53. As I was saying, we are celebrating today the resurrection of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, who we believe is the Son of the living God. We believe that John wrote about Jesus in chapter 1. And in chapter 1, he was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said that he was in the beginning with God. All things were created by him and through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, John testified that even though he was in the world, which was created by him, yet the world did not know him. Even his own did not receive him. And those who would receive him, Jesus would give them the right to become children of God because they believed in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're not born of a religion. We're not born of a certain doctrine, unless it is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Whatever faith you were raised in, that does not save you. The only thing that can save us, the only one that can save us, is that we are born through Jesus Christ, through his blood, through his word. Jesus said in John chapter 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." See, again, you can't, there's nothing else you can do. We have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And like I was saying earlier, because he is our risen King. And then John tells us in 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus tells us in John 3:16 why he came. And the reason he came, he was sent to the world. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that's why Jesus came. He came because God had sent him. He came to die for our sins. He came to be the Paschal Lamb that would save us from the wrath of God. Just like in the days when the death angel went down into Egypt and passed over wherever the blood was over the doorpost, the death angel passed over. So is the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. We who have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, the wrath of God will pass over us because we have found peace with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the man that we're talking about that died on Calvary. This is the man who rose again on the third day. In John 3:17-18, it says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God." Now, there are those who teach about Jesus. They say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe that he rose physically from the dead, that he rose spiritually. There are those who say that he was just a great man, that he was a great prophet, and like Muhammad. They say that he was just a good person. And yet, we who believe in him, we know better. We know that he is the Christ. We know that he rose from the dead. We know that he ascended to the Father. And Jesus made some claims. Jesus called himself the bread of life in John 6:35 and 41, 48 and 51. He called himself the light of the world in John 8 and 12. He said that he is the door for the sheep. He said that he is the good shepherd. He even said that he is the resurrection and the life, that he is the way, the truth, the life, and the true vine. Each of these statements begins with the words, "I am," recalling God's revelation of his "I am" to Moses in Exodus 3:14. Jesus did not say he gave bread. He said he is the bread which gives life. He did not say he would teach the way, the truth, and the life. Instead, he said he is the way because he is the truth and the life. These are Jesus' clear claims to his deity. And that's what we have to believe in. We must believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was not just a mere man. He's God in the flesh. He came down to give his life, to save man from his sins. According to Hebrews 2:9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone." So Jesus came that he would taste death for everyone. You remember while he was in the garden, and you remember his prayer, he said, "Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Because it was a bitter cup that he knew that he had to drink from. And I think I told you last week, he drank from that bitter cup so that you and I, when we take communion, could drink from a sweet cup. Thinking of what he has done, thinking that it was his blood, thinking that it was his death that has given us redemption between us and God. He became the very bridge between man and God. I like, I don't know if you've ever heard that song that, or there's a saying that God, that Jesus built a bridge to God with three nails and two pieces of board. And when you think about that, it's like, wow, he did that for you and I. Jesus came down. He left eternity to be with us, to die for us, that we may be redeemed. Jesus said in John 6:45, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." And remember, Jesus himself said, "No man can come to the Father except by me." And so the only way man can come to God is first to hear the word of God, to accept the word of God, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And so it doesn't matter what we do or what we say. It's what we believe. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that he rose again on the third day? Do you believe in this day that we call Easter in the sense that he has risen? And if you believe it, do you live as a believer? Do you trust as a believer? When the world sees you or your family sees you, do you live as one who is living for one who once died and rose again on the third day? There have been many prophecies about the death and resurrection of Jesus. Go with me now to Isaiah 53. Starting with verse 1. This is a prophecy hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ. And it amazes me that Isaiah knew about this. It amazes me because God had given him the word to write about the coming Messiah, about the one who would give his life, about the one that will go through things just so that you and I can be joined back together with God. And Isaiah 53:1 says, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And so when you look at the word our refers to the believing members in Israel, or today you can say those who call themselves believers. Do you trust the Lord? Do you believe in the report? Do you believe that the man who died on Calvary can heal anything in your life? Do you believe the report? Do you believe the sermons that are being taught? Do you believe the words that have been taught during Bible study? Do you believe it when you're reading it? Do you believe that he is capable of doing all things? Do you believe the report? And that goes to the people. The world doesn't believe, but do you believe? There's many times I've talked with people who are going through things, and they don't understand why they're going through it. And a lot of times they fall by the wayside, and you kind of wonder, don't you believe? Don't you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Don't you believe that he can heal those things in your life? Do you believe that he can heal your marriage? Do you believe he can heal your son and daughter? Do you believe that he is able to do that? And a lot of times where our life does not reflect the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So again, who will believe it? God has revealed to us through his word his plan. It was a secret. It was a mystery all the way up until Jesus. And now it's open to all to be saved. Second verse, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant," speaking of Jesus, And as a root out of dry ground, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So tender plant refers to a shoot rising from a plant stem or root. A root out of dry ground suggests that Christ's rejection by Israel, and even looking at today, he is yet being rejected. And unfortunately, there have been believers who have fallen by the wayside, and they are rejecting him. I have met people who said, you don't have anything more to do with God. And I really believe this happens because they truly did not know God. Because, see, when you know God, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Even when I go through things, sometimes I do wonder, God, are you here? But I know he's here. But yet, I'm going to ask, Lord, are you here? Because sometimes I feel alone. Sometimes I feel he's not near, but I know he's near. And it's the knowledge of knowing that he's here, even during this bad situation. And why can I say that? Because I believe in the word of God. I believe in Christ. I believe that he came from God. I believe every word that has been written that he had said by the disciples and those who were witness to him. It says, no form of comeliness. I heard someone once said that Jesus was just a plain-looking man. You know, he didn't look like royalty. He didn't look like someone that you could choose pick out of a crowd. The only time you would be able to notice Jesus is when he began to speak, because the words that he spoke was just so awesome. It was so great. It was unreal. The scholars of his day could not believe that he was so knowledgeable. They were saying, you're a young man. How is it that you know so much? He demonstrated and showed God through his life so much so until a blind man could have seen it. And yet, if the heart is turned away from God and not in the place that he says or she says that it is, you will not see the things of God. So he was not the type of person that you would look upon and go, wow, hey, you know, I heard one guy say he was a homey-looking guy. I don't say that, but, you know, he was plain. He wasn't someone that you would recognize. In the third verse, go with me there. He is despised and rejected by men. Even today, he is despised and rejected. And every last one of us who truly live by the way of Christ, we are rejected also. You remember what Jesus said? If they hated you, how much more then will they hate you? He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It wasn't like Jesus was walking around with his head down and, you know, it's like, oh, Jesus, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm the savior of the world and pretty soon I'm going to die and I'm going to go through a lot. You know, that's not what it's talking about. What it's talking about, can you imagine you created all this and you're looking at your creation and you see your creation, it's in a big mess. You see your creation just dying without God. And it grieved him. It grieved him to see his creation being separated from God. So he was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. And so, see, that shows us also that he understands your grief. He understands my grief. We have a high priest that understands what it feels like to feel alone, to feel like no one cares. And yet, he knew without a shadow of a doubt that his father was with him. He didn't really need anyone because he had his father. And yet, he chose to come as a servant. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. They saw Jesus. They saw the miracles that he did. They heard the words that he had spoken. They saw God manifest through him. They knew that there was something about this man that was different than any man that they had ever seen. And yet, they would not esteem him. Fourth verse, follow me there. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him, stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. And so while he was up there on that cross, you know what people were probably thinking, and this, according to this, wow, what did this guy do? What did this guy do to get God that angry? Look, he's getting beaten. He's you know, they're slapping him around. They're you know, people are saying, crucify him. What did he do? And see, in those days, and even today, some people think that if you're going through a lot, it's because you did something against God. And you know, and sometimes it's just that some of us just draw the bad luck of the card. We draw the bad straw. And yet, it doesn't matter. If you have Christ in your life, and you're afflicted in His name, and you trust in Him, you will be able to walk through it. You know why? Because He is with us. He leads us and He guides us. This is the man that we're talking about, the man who rose from the dead, who death couldn't even keep down, the grave couldn't even keep down. This is who we are serving. Verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Now, a lot of times people look at that and go, see, by His stripes we are healed. Do you know that there have been more people in the world that have been healed by the word of God than by a physical healing? It is God's word that heals the very depths of man. That brokenhearted, Jesus said, I have come to mend the brokenhearted, to give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf. And you know what He's talking about? Yeah, He did do it physically, but He was even talking about it more spiritually. Because even He had said later on, let him who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, hear what let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying. And a lot of times we don't hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us, and yet we're believers, yet we're followers. I like it in the book of Acts, before they came up with the word Christian, they used to ask, are you of the way? Are you of the way? And everyone knew what that meant, that knew about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, are you of the way? Are you walking in the way of Christ? Are you being healed by the stripes that was born for us through Him? And this is what it's talking about. It's not, again, it's not talking about always a physical healing. Again, more people have been touched by the word of God than anything else that you can ever even think about. You know, sure, laying of the hands and praying and you recover. These things do happen, but it happened when God says that it's going to happen. We can't drum these things up. Only God can do these things. So He was wounded for our transgressions. He suffered for our sins. That's why I can't stand before you and brag. I can't say to you, look at me, look how wonderful I am, because I'm a nobody without Christ. He took the beating for me, and He took it for you. He was bruised for our iniquities, everything that we did. God put all of His anger, while Jesus was hanging on that cross, He put all that wrath and anger on Christ. Christ took it all. He took it all for us. And I have to say, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with what He has done for us? What are you doing with the gift that was given to you and I? Are you living any way that you want to live? Hey, did you know that each one of you and I that claim to be have Christ, you were bought, meaning you don't belong to yourself anymore. And yet we live as though that, hey, I'm living on my time. I'm going to do the things that the way I want to do it. And I always say, hey, if that's true, try that at work. See how far that will get you. It won't get you far, will it? But see, because of His grace, because of God's patience, people, they tend to forget. Can you imagine what would happen if God got angry every time someone did something wrong, they dropped dead? Oh man, we couldn't bury them fast enough. We wouldn't be able to. So I thank God that He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. He was chastised for you and I, so that you and I can have peace between ourselves and God. And again, those stripes, they're so powerful in the sense that He took that beating for you and I. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He took it. The man who was God, he took it. Jesus could have just spoke. He could have just said, Father, help me. Angels would have came. He could have just spoke. I mean, while he was in the garden, when they went to get Jesus, you remember what happened when Jesus asked the soldiers, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for Jesus. And he goes, it is I. And they fell just by that power. But he took the beating. And some of us, boy, if we think somebody is disrespecting us, we're ready to throw some blows. We're ready to go, oh, let me push back my Christianity for a little bit and let's go around a couple. You know, that's what we're ready to do. Jesus could have done that, but he didn't. He went to the cross silently. When he was beaten, you know, someone was saying, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it said that someone had said that when he was beaten, that when that whip was hitting him, he couldn't cry out. He had to take it in. Because if he would have cried out, the angels would probably have been there. I don't know how true that is. It's a good story, though, right? I don't know. But I do know that he went there silently. He didn't say anything. He suffered for us. And that speaks of a servant's willingness to die for sinners. It also marks his dignity and his authority. And 1 Peter 2, 23-24 says, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He committed himself to God, to the punishment, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You see there? It's a spiritual healing. It is not always a physical. It is a spiritual. Let's go with verse 8 of Isaiah 53. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? This means that he was taken out of prison and he was taken from judgment. They didn't even judge him according to the Jewish laws. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. They were tired of him. They were so tired of Jesus that when he rose the man from the dead, I can't think of his name now, Lazarus from the dead, they wanted to kill Lazarus and Jesus. And that's how hard can a heart get that you're wanting to do that, all because you don't like this guy because he's taking all the attention away from you. And sometimes we're like that even in the body of Christ. We want people to notice us. And if they don't notice us, we won't do anything because we're not being noticed. But again, it's like, again, I said, what are you doing with that mercy that he's given you? What are you doing with that grace that he has given you? And continuing on in verse 8, it says, for he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken, meaning he died. He bled, suffered, and died, and hung on the tree for you and I. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasures of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. And this is what Jesus received. When he rose from the dead, he said, all power has been given to me, all of authority. Now go with me to Luke 23. Remember, we just got through reading about the coming king, what would happen to him. And now, here it has been, the prophecy is come to pass. In Luke 23, 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintance and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock, where no one had ever laid before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So they looked to see where he was laid, because they was like, and I'm pretty sure their hearts were broken. And in their minds, the voice had been silenced. They killed our Lord. They still didn't get it. They still didn't understand what Jesus was saying. They still didn't understand when he said, tear this temple down, and in 3 days I will raise it again. He told them more than once that he would rise again from the dead. And like I always say, no one was there waiting on him. In Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And see, and that's what's so important right there. They didn't find the body of Jesus. So when someone's knocking at your door and they're smiling, say, hey, do you believe that Jesus physically rose again? And they say, no. Thank you for the conversation. Have a blessed day. Bye. Because there's no reason to even talk about it, because they don't believe that he did. I'm not going to tell you, talking about Jehovah's Witness, okay? Third verse. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? See, even saying, hey, don't you guys remember what he told you? What are you doing? So here they are, they've got their faces to the ground because, you know, they're angels. And in those days, a lot of times, they used to think, if you see an angel, that means you're gone. You're dead. But they didn't die. And what did the angel say to them in the sixth verse? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and be crucified, and the third day rise again. You see, the angel's even reminding him. You remember what he told you? That's like us as pastors, Pastor Al and Pastor Gino. We're daily trying to, every Sunday and during the week, trying to encourage you. Don't you remember? Don't you remember what he said? He said, if you trust in him, that he'll get you through this. Don't you remember that no matter what's going on in your life, that you can trust that Jesus is there with you and that he will take you through it and that you will find victory at the end of it? Don't you remember? There's only a few people that remember at times. Sometimes we look at people and we think, wow, they don't remember, do they? You know, it's like my friend always says, you know, see, I know he knows the difference between remember and member, because he says remember, but when he's really excited, he goes, member? Member? So he's saying, do you remember? And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe. These women with these tales, they didn't believe. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know. They did not know him. And you know what's interesting about the restraint? Their belief wasn't even there. Their belief was gone out the door. When Jesus died, when he said it is finished, and he dropped his head and he died, their faith died too. And see, and that's what happens to us when we are faced with certain situations that come into our lives. Our eyes become restrained by what we're looking at. We're looking this way instead of looking that way, saying, Father God, looking up and say, you are able to take me through this. You are able to rescue me from this. But their eyes were restrained. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? He can tell that their demeanor was sad. Now, this is Jesus. You know what? It shows me a little bit. Jesus had a little sense of humor. You know, it's like, hey, what are you guys talking about? Oh, man. You know, they're going to say here. Like in the 18th verse. Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days? You know, he's like, dude, where have you been? What are you talking about? Have you ever done that? You'd think you're talking to someone and you find out later on it's not the person that you thought it was. I've done that. I'm glad I hear the laughter. That means you're with me. And he said to them, what things? So Jesus said, what things? What are you talking about? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Ugh. I can just imagine, like, man, where were you? And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping, and see, this is what they were hoping. But we were hoping that he was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things has happened. And I can imagine Jesus going, really? This is the third day? Wow. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels and said he was alive. And certain of these who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. See, Jesus had told them before, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. I kind of wonder if they say, here, come on in here. We want to tell you some more about this man called Jesus. We want to tell you how great of a guy he was. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Poof, he was gone. He was not a magician. He's Jesus. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. There he is. He appears to them. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. You see, again, they thought it was a spirit. But Jesus is going to demonstrate to them, I am not a spirit. I am more than a spirit. I'm flesh. I'm flesh and bone. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your hearts. See, he knew their hearts and their minds. They're like, can't be. We just saw you at the tomb. We saw you die on the cross. We put your body in the tomb. What are you doing standing here? They couldn't believe it because their eyes were so constrained with disbelief. And like us, see, that's why it's so important to read the Word of God and to pray daily and ask God to strengthen you. Because if not, your faith will begin to die. And so Jesus said this in the 39th verse, behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. There it is right there, flesh and bone. When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from high. And he led them as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising him and blessing God. And it says, amen. And you know what is awesome? Prior to that, and while Jesus was still here in Ephesians 1:7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And so there were more people that had seen him. And Paul even wrote about it because Paul was one of the last ones who had seen Jesus. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Caiaphas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Over 500 people saw Jesus after he had risen from the dead. He has risen. He is truly risen. Of whom the greater part remain to this day, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of time. And I'll close with this one. In 1 John 1:1-4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And see, here's John saying, we handled him. We know he's true. We know he's real. It is not a facade. Someone said one time that, oh, when the 500 saw Jesus, they were all hypnotized. They were all seeing a vision at the same time. And I think that's kind of strange that people would say things like that. Because isn't it, you know, people who believe in history will not believe in this. Even though they believe in historical people that they had never seen before, they believe. Darwin, he believed that men evolved. People, I mean, they teach that like it's the gospel truth. And yet, we have here the word showing that over 500 people witnessed him. And then John is ending this by saying, we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled according to the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so John is saying, we want you to be happy as we are. We want you to celebrate as we celebrate. He is risen. He is alive. He is real. And he's coming back again. And then the fourth verse of 1 John 1 says, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full. He wants our joy to be filled because we have someone that we can go to that we know who is real, and it's Jesus. And yes, we're going to have scoffers. In 2 Peter, it talks about scoffers asking questions like, you know, when will it come? When will the promise come? Where is the promise of his coming? And it was even like in that day when they were saying, we're waiting for the Messiah, and the Messiah was right there, and they ignored him. And so now the Messiah has risen, and he said he's coming back again. And now people saying, well, hey, where's your God? When is Jesus going to return? It's been over 2,000 years, and he hasn't come yet. But you know what? It's not for us to know when he's coming back. This is one thing that we can say. I know that I know that the Word became flesh. I know that I know that he walked among men, that God taught men, that God loved us so much that he chose to come down to be with man. He chose to become a part of man. He chose to suffer, to be beaten, to die on the cross, and to raise again for our salvation. I like what Paul said in Romans 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see, for us to say that, that means that no matter what my life is going through, no matter what comes against me, I trust in the name of Jesus. Do you trust in the name of Jesus? If you trust in the name of Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. Your word is powerful. I thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, there's times I just envision in my mind, Lord, him being beaten and how awful that must have been. Even though there's been countless of movies that have been written about or shown about that beating, and yet, Lord, I still don't believe it even comes close to what you've gone through. And then you're dying on the cross. To even hear you cry out saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thank you, God. I thank you, my Lord and Savior, that you understand that type of cry, because there's times we cry that out. When we're going through things, we say, Lord, where are you? We feel so forsaken at times. And yet, Lord, you went through it, Lord, so that we can find peace. And all we have to do is remember what you've done on the Calvary. It is Calvary, Lord, that is brought us to you, God. You have declared that those who believe in the Son of God, those who believe in the one that you sent, will be called the children of God. And we, as your children, we say, thank you, Lord. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, that you laid there in that tomb for 3 days. And we thank you, God, that you rose again. Jesus, you are so awesome, and we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. May we not, Lord, live a defeated life, but may we take on your victory within our lives. May our heads be held up high, Lord, because we're looking to you and not looking at our circumstances. That we say that you are the light of our world, so that the things that bother us will become shadows to your light. We thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. In Jesus' name. Amen.